Now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Another great day when there's a major court decision just handed down, just moments ago, actually, about what happened in Charlottesville back in 2017. And one of the things that created one of the biggest problems for President Donald Trump and was used heavily against him during the campaign of 2020, a verdict on the white supremacist, and this is not questionable. The people who were on trial were virtually all of them, not every single one, but most of the defendants were proudly white supremacists. That was something they believed in. A split decision from the jury. We will get to that. We'll also get to Kyle Rittenhouse. Is he a symbol of everything that's wrong with America? Or is he actually a symbol about what could maybe heal America and make our country better? And speaking of making our country better, the governor of California has been so concerned by the crime wave, the wave of organized, basically looting of major businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area. He, not the local police department, is trying to take charge and to increase police presence at retail stores. We will get to that. We'll be speaking to one of the senior Democrats in the House of Representatives and talking about his position on the infrastructure bill and the budget-busting Build Back Better bill. And he supported both, did Adam Smith, chairman of the Armed Services Committee. What will the impact be of all this spending on the need that Congressman Smith recognizes, which is the need to spend some more money to build up our national defense? And we will also be giving you the very latest on what it is that Americans believe needs to be done as a top priority issue, as the issue that's going to influence their votes in the big election coming up a year from now, and what issues just don't matter. There's, by the way, some good news for conservatives in that regard and some troubling news for conservatives in that regard. And then the concluding arguments by the prosecutor and by the defense in the trial of William Bryan and the McMichaels, Travis and Greg McMichael, in the killing of Ahmed Arbery. Is it really relevant for the attorney for Gregory McMichael to bring up the condition of Ahmed Arbery's toenails, as if the fact that he had, quote, long, dirty toenails made it understandable why you would kill him? I mean, is that dubious? It seems to me it probably is. We will get to that as well on a very busy day on the Michael Medved Show. And maybe most important of all, we're going to be speaking about an hour from now with Carmen Best, who was a former police chief of Seattle. She was a fine police chief. She was our first ever woman of color who was put in charge of the police department. And talk to her a little bit about the future of policing and what positive role, if any, police can and in fact must play in dealing with the crisis of homelessness, which has spread like a terrible virus all across the United States. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Okay, first off, this breaking news. The Washington Post reports that prominent white supremacist Richard Spencer, he's one of the guys who coined the phrase alt-right, which pretty much nobody uses anymore because it's not much of a going concern. But prominent white supremacists Richard Spencer, Jason Kessler, and Christopher Cantwell and others engaged in a conspiracy in advance of the deadly Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville in 2017. A jury has ruled. But the jury was unable to reach a verdict on two federal conspiracy charges. But they did find that every defendant was liable for civil conspiracy under Virginia law. The jury then awarded $500,000 in punitive damages against all 12 individual defendants and $1 million against five white nationalist organizations on that conspiracy count. Other damages followed on other counts. This was a civil trial. This was not a criminal trial. Nobody's going to jail. But there are a number of people who will clearly appeal, but they're going to be financially ruined. And they deserve it. They do. The 11 jurors need only to find a preponderance of the evidence rather than the higher bar of beyond reasonable doubt in criminal trials because it's a civil trial. But they still deadlocked on two federal claims of a race-based conspiracy while agreeing that there was a conspiracy under Virginia state law and that the victims were entitled to compensation. Okay. One thing that needs to be explained here is I think a lot of people who look back on Charlottesville, if you think about it at all, it wasn't all the white supremacists. They initiated it. But there was terrible behavior as well by people from Antifa and from left-wing thugs who also engage in a great deal of violence. So the question is, okay, why here is this whole lengthy trial, and are these fairly substantial financial verdicts, why are they awarded against the white supremacists, against the right wing, so-called, part of this riot that took place in Charlottesville? And Antifa doesn't have to pay anything. They're not finding any difficulty here. And the answer is because this is a civil trial. It's not a criminal trial. In other words, nobody sued Antifa. Could somebody probably sue Antifa successfully regarding their violence in this particular incident? Not now. Not after this long suit and this long period of time. But in the future, for some of what they do, I do think that this should be used as a model for suing perpetrators of other kinds of violence and people who organize that kind of violence as well, like the people in Portland who basically do violent property destruction every night, or potentially if the regular criminal law enforcement is not enough, dealing with these organized sacking of department stores that is going on in San Francisco right now. And there already is, started under President Trump, there is some attempt to try to go after people who destroy statues, speaking of which Thomas Jefferson has left the building. We talked before about the Jefferson statue in New York City that is being moved out of the city council chambers. We will get to that as well. And a statement basically about smash and grab crimes and a statement from MSNBC. San Francisco is out of control. Portland is out of control. Who can be blamed for that? Is there some way you blame conservatives or any conservatives for that? We will get to that and to much more coming up on The Medved Show.
Michael Medved.
He has control over this world.
This is The Michael Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
the Michael Medved Show, the day before the real beginning of the Thanksgiving holiday. I mean, I know tomorrow's not a holiday day, but it's a day of travel. I think there are many Americans, maybe even most Americans, who are either going somewhere for Thanksgiving meal or welcoming someone at your home, which is the case with us, for Thanksgiving celebrations. It's a great time in the country to really remember everything that you have to feel grateful about. But given everything that's going on and these high-profile trials involving, and all of them inevitably, like almost everything, it seems to me, in America right now, involves charges, at least, of racism. And that's what makes it so difficult to basically calm things down in this country. There was an interchange with comedian Bill Burr, who's on a national tour right now, and between him and Jimmy Kimmel on his show, about how most of the country really is sane, reasonable, not ready to pick up guns or cudgels or American flags used as spears or anything else for the sake of a civil war. And yet there's a difficulty for that great, and I do believe it's an American majority. It's kind of a silent majority, to use the phrase. But this is what Bill Burr spoke about with Jimmy Kimmel last night, which I think speaks for a number of Americans, if not an outright majority. This is clip 14.
You're going on a tour at the beginning. Is it the beginning of next year? Is that the plan?
Yeah, I've been on the road the last 7 of the last 8 weeks, and just, you know, people out there are fine. People are nice. 85% of people are totally cool. It's just everybody on the extreme left and extreme right have completely, like, lost their minds. Everybody else is just kind of sitting there.
You're like, absolutely right.
Yeah, they're just trying not to get in trouble. Like, when are mom and dad going to stop yelling at each other about gender-neutral bathrooms that you can hang an AR-15 in, or whatever it is that they're flipping out about? I think everybody else would just, like, you know.
What's your position on gender-neutral bathrooms that you can hang an AR-15 in? Look, what's interesting about this is he's talking about mom and dad, is that most of the shouting right now, we do have such a disproportionate number of elderly people who are up there and doing much of the shouting. I mean, Bernie Sanders, who's seems to be raising his voice more than ever to make sure he can hear himself. And it's not just one part of the country, but it's one part of the country in particular that seems to be out of control on the left side of things. This was the analysis, and it's tough to argue with, by Joe Scarborough on MSNBC on The Morning Joe. This is a clip 15.
So, Joe, while some of these images, of course, are shocking to look at, they're absolutely not surprising to anyone who lives in San Francisco, given what's happened in the last few years there, which is the district attorney has signaled there, we're just not going to prosecute property crimes. We're going to do it at a much lower rate than it's ever been done. In fact, it will be a misdemeanor if you steal less than $950. That was a proposition of referendum that passed in that city. All the signals, and it's not just San Francisco, but it's what we're talking about here, are that if you want to go in and steal stuff, we're going to sit back and let it happen, or at least we're not going to prosecute you after we catch you.
Well, I mean, it's in San Francisco. And by the way, I'm not sure what the mayor of San Francisco is talking about. We must stop this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been happening for a couple of years now. A good friend of ours went into a Louboutin store to get a pair of sweats. About 10 people stormed into the store, pulled out guns, and just started piling stuff into suitcases. It's been, San Francisco is out of control. Portland is out of control. And you look, in part, you're right, Willie. I mean, laws have consequences.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and here is another network, also not a network known to be conservative, or a network heretofore that has spoken out in behalf of law and order, but ABC News with David Muir giving a report on the smash-and-grab crimes that are targeting retailers around the country. This is clip 9.
The crackdown, authorities growing increasingly concerned after a wave of what they call smash-and-grab robberies. Groups of people swarming stores, Nordstrom's and other high-end stores, and then making off with thousands of dollars worth of goods.
Tonight, a rash of smash-and-grab thefts targeting retailers around the country, just as the holiday shopping season picks up. In California, the Bay Area suddenly seeing mobs of people ambushing stores.
A lot of them are going in there, grabbing as much merchandise as they can, and getting away.
Over the weekend in Walnut Creek, 80 thieves storming in Nordstrom. Some even assaulting employees before they ran out with merchandise in hand to getaway cars.
Probably saw 50 to 80 people in like ski masks, crowbars, night, like a bunch of weapons.
And in San Francisco, more than $1 million in merchandise was stolen after as many as 100 people rushed several stores, including this Louis Vuitton.
Look, I have no sympathy, no empathy whatsoever. People smashing and grabbing, stealing people's items, creating havoc and terror on our streets.
Okay, this is an unbelievable situation. And it's so much of a concern is that Governor Gavin Newsom, who had disappeared, you'll remember, from sight for a while, he apparently had gone to a very glamorous high society wedding, and there are pictures of him there, so he really was there. It's not an Appalachian Trail kind of thing. But now he has reappeared, and Governor Newsom is actually concerned. And how could he not be? He's the governor of this crazy state. Here's what he had to say he's going to do. Listen to clip 3.
You will see an increased presence in and around large retail centers and shopping malls all throughout the Bay. So people see a visible presence as a deterrent. These people need to be held to account. We need to investigate these crimes. We need to break up these crime rings. And we need to make an example out of these folks. Because the impact they're having is in your question. They're not just stealing people's products and impacting their livelihoods. They're stealing a sense of place and confidence.
And basically the ability to make money. I mean, people are concerned about the economy. There's a new Gallup poll, in fact, about what concerns people most. They're deeply concerned about the economy. How can you make money safely or rebuild prosperity when your ability to sell merchandise at retail, which is a backbone of our economy, is threatened by this violence? We'll be right back with more and what happens next coming up on the MedVet Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
This is an unbelievable situation right now. And again, I spent 4 years of my life living in the San Francisco Bay Area. I've often said that those 4 years were three of the happiest weeks of my life. The Bay Area is beautiful. It has some wonderful aspects of it, but it's not a place that I wanted to raise my children, frankly. And it's not my favorite part of the country. And we make fun of it, and yes, there's some wonderful institutions there. The Hoover Institution at Stanford University is great, and okay, and it's can be a very pleasant place to visit. But think about this: this is right now, this is America in 2021, with us, yes, slowly, painfully now making some progress on the pandemic. The economy. We have an inflation problem, but the economy and the growth rate is supposed to be pretty good. The president of the United States appointed a new chairman of the president of the Federal Reserve. We're appointing the old president, Jerome Powell, same guy who had been picked by Trump, which is a good thing. It's a good thing that it is not politicized, and we're not going to have a, quote, now Democratic Federal Reserve versus a Republican Federal Reserve. A Federal Reserve is supposed to be an impartial, nonpartisan institution. But then you have this. This is a report about the Hayward Mall in the Bay Area. Hayward is in the East Bay, the Southeast Bay, between San Francisco and San Jose. And then in San Jose, they had a Lululemon store robbed in San Jose's Santana Row. This is what some of the coverage sounds like. Listen.
We have new video. It shows a bold smash and grab at a Southland mall. This is the third straight day a large mob of robbers have gone after retailers in the Bay Area. KPIX5's Da Lin is live outside Southland Mall with the very latest for us. Da.
Yeah, Julia, that robbery caused mass chaos here at Southland Mall earlier this afternoon. Many stores actually went into lockdown, stores pulling down their front metal gate to close down early, workers and customers running into the back of the store to seek safety. Robbers used hammers to smash glass cases and ran off with jewelry. You can hear workers inside Sam's Jewelers screaming in fear.
There was like a whole bunch of glass just shattering.
Witnesses say this was the tail end of a much bigger scene.
I would say at least 30 to 40 from what I saw, but then after the main group of kids rushed out, we saw about maybe 15 to 20 scattering
going back. And then some even came back in.
These two women work near Sam's Jewelers. They and other mall workers say some kids ran into other stores and took off with shoes and clothes.
We saw all the other stores closing up really quickly. We saw everyone else panicking. Of course, we started panicking too. So I grabbed my girls. We ran to the back, barricaded ourselves in.
You can hear other store workers telling customers to move to safety. Hayward police say multiple 911 calls came in at around 5:25 p.m., just before closing time. Most stores close at 6 o'clock. Police say the robbers mainly targeted Sam's Jewelers. Aside from collecting evidence inside the store, police parked in front of Macy's and secured mall entrances.
Okay, this is appalling. And happening the week when Black Friday is supposed to take place, the day after Thanksgiving, which is the beginning of the Christmas season. This happening during the Christmas retail season, which is absolutely crucial to the U.S. economy. It's crucial. If people want our economy to keep going, I mean, one of the things you look toward is how well these brick-and-mortar businesses are getting along. And by the way, for people who think, oh, they're rich, it doesn't matter to them, and they're all insured anyway, and it doesn't matter to them, are you running in a retail business is not easy. Anybody out there shared the experience I have had, which is working as a minimum wage worker, which I did, at a retail business? I mean, I've talked about it before, and it was in the Bay Area, by the way. Was working at a record store. Records are those old vinyl things that you, I mean, people are using it again. But the idea of a source for music. And it is not music to the ears for anyone trying to run a retail business to try to deal with the shoplifting, particularly if it's organized like this. I know that as a record store employee on Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley, I was expected, if necessary, to risk my life to run after and, if necessary, physically detain a shoplifter who was trying to get out with merchandise. But the idea that this is a way that you somehow redistribute wealth, the people who are running retail establishments, and this includes grocery stores, it includes the jewelry stores. And jewelry stores, how do they exist? They basically, a great deal of the retail traffic in jewelry stores is engagement rings and wedding rings. And how would it be for people who are planning a wedding? Actually, I know one of our daughters has a very good friend who right now is planning a wedding. And, I mean, planning a wedding when you don't know what's going to happen, if you go into a jewelry store to see what you're going to get. Basically, all of these retail establishments exist to provide people with opportunities. And it's not just the people who are running the store who get provided with opportunities to make an honest profit by basically marketing and buying and making something available that people want, but the people who want to look for, I don't know, think about weddings. Because weddings, that's another issue that is going to come up later today, that Americans still want to get married, even though fewer Americans say they want children. But could it be that one of the reasons fewer Americans want children is because you're worried your child is going to grow up like this, to ransack a store, to smash windows? And you see, I would imagine that left-wing ideology has to do with some of the self-justification and all of this. Well, these rich people, they're exploitative, they've robbed us, they owe us for generations of mistreatment. People could say that. And now we are getting back at the rich and we're somehow evening the score. Is that a belief? Is this going to be a winning message for the left to try to justify this kind of thing? And the idea that this could probably, and I'm sure would be, supported by groups like Antifa, which is a real thing. It's not an illusion. And despite the verdict in Charlottesville today on the Charlottesville case about the riots that proved deadly, where a woman named Heather Heyer, you remember, was run down by a criminal who's going to be spending a great deal of his life in prison, and well-deserved, by a criminal named Fields. With all of that going on, to say that, okay, well, Antifa didn't get blamed in this lawsuit, that doesn't make the extreme left free of blame. So Beto O'Rourke has a solution to all of it. What is it? Wait till you hear. We'll get to that coming up on The Medved Show.
Your daily dose of debate.
I was listening to about 15 minutes of this garbage that you were spewing out today, so I thought I'd call it.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, talking about the issues that are of a deep concern to Americans, this is an issue of crime that ought to be of profound concern to people. And yet, what's interesting to me is that with department stores, shopping malls, jewelry stores, clothing stores, and this is all organized. You see, it's not generally when you think about shoplifting, about taking merchandise from a store, you have the idea of there's an individual who comes in. Maybe sometimes it'll be two individuals or three individuals at the same time, and they'll grab some stuff and get out. This is organized. It's an occupation. It's an invasion. It's not just a smash and grab. What you're talking about is much more serious, because one of the questions that we'll ask Police Chief Carmen Best, former police chief of the city of Seattle, is, okay, how do you defend against this? I mean, there probably are security guards at some of these larger businesses, but if you're swarmed by 50 people, they're estimating that at this Hayward, California, there are 50 people who came into these businesses, smashed the windows, came in, and just took stuff. This is a complete breakdown of what people call law and order. And this has got to be the biggest, if and unless this is brought under control quickly, it's going to be and should be the biggest issue that Americans are likely to confront in the next election. Now, Beto O'Rourke didn't get that message. I'm sorry, he didn't. He has made comments about guns. He believes that somehow taking guns away from people is going to make us safer. And again, I agree. By the way, everybody can agree that taking guns away from career criminals, taking guns away from people who may want to be carrying them while they're breaking into department stores, that's a good thing. But you've got to make a distinction between people who are law-abiding, legal gun owners and people who are criminals. And people like the perpetrator of that hideous mass murder that occurred in Waukesha, Wisconsin on Sunday night. Still 40 people hospitalized, 5 dead. It's an extraordinary thing. And the problem wasn't a gun. Problem was the criminal driving his car through dancing grannies and other crowds of people in Wisconsin. So Beto O'Rourke is going to solve all of this by taking away AR-15s and AK-47s. He had made the statement, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47, which is probably not the way you're going to build up a popular movement in your behalf in the state of Texas. I'm just guessing. But Beto O'Rourke has also been challenged by the fact that he's lost in Texas and twice in a row, despite raising literally millions and millions of dollars. He had a fundraising performance that set records when he was running for Senate against Ted Cruz and lost by 2 points, 2%. Anyway, this is Beto O'Rourke on CNN with Dana Bash. Clip 8, listen.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Is that what you would still do as governor of Texas?
Look, we are a state that has a long, proud tradition of responsible gun ownership. And most of us here in Texas do not want to see our friends, our family members, our neighbors shot up with these weapons of war. So yes, I still hold this view, but I also have been listening to my fellow Texans who are concerned about this idea of permitless carry that Greg Abbott has signed into law, which allows any Texan to carry a loaded firearm despite the pleadings of police chiefs and law enforcement from across the state who said it would make their jobs more dangerous and make it harder for them to protect those that they were sworn to serve in their communities. So we don't want extremism in our gun laws. We want to protect the Second Amendment. We want to protect the lives of our fellow Texans.
Okay, extremism in their gun laws? Wouldn't it count if to say that, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. If somebody has purchased those guns legally, you know, relatively easy to do that in Texas and frankly around the country recently, and again, they are not frequently used in crime. Smaller guns are used in crime far more frequently. It's a completely ridiculous perspective. In terms of the other issues that matter to people, the number one issue, according to the new Gallup poll, and this is one where you open it up. You don't say, which one do you pick? You ask people, What do you think is the most important problem facing this country today? It's open-ended. So by far the most important problem with 21% of people naming this problem is the government and poor leadership. In other words, people spontaneously said government, poor leadership. They encountered in this, if people said the biggest problem was Biden or the biggest problem was Harris or the biggest problem was Pelosi, that's counted in that one. Coronavirus and diseases is the next biggest problem in people's minds. It's gone down, by the way. In September, it was 21%. In November, it's 13%. Pick that one. Then after that, immigration, high cost of living, that's gone way up. It's gone up from 1% in September. It's now 7%. I think the high cost of living is the biggest problem in the country. And after that, unifying the country, that's been consistent. That's 7%. I think unifying the country is the biggest problem. Unemployment, jobs, race relations, racism, 5% named that one. Then climate change, 4%. It's gone up from 3% in October. That's, again, very consistent. This is a job that concerns, an issue that concerns many of our leaders who are fairly hysterical on the issue. But among ordinary Americans, there's frankly not been enough concern to actually mobilize people to behave somewhat differently in their own consumption patterns. And then, and this is a little bit disturbing, the last issue that registered at all with 4% naming this issue was ethics, moral, and religious decline. The idea that there are not more people concerned about that general falling apart of our country, about all of these cases that we hear about, ranging from what just happened, I guess you could put that under racism, to what happened in Georgia, where they just went to the jury on the Arbery case. We will be talking about that. Remarkable statements, closing statements to the jury by both the prosecution that seemed to be very, very much on point and very effective, and a defense team that really doesn't have much to defend here because it's horrific what happened. But with all of this going on, the idea that right now the American people are focused on issues like the removal of a Thomas Jefferson statue that has stood in the same place for 187 years, and where's it going, and why, and where did they put Theodore Roosevelt? They're also moving him from the steps of the New York Museum of Natural History, which is one of the organizations that his father, Theodore Roosevelt's father, Theodore Roosevelt Sr., the first, has helped to establish. We will get to that. We will also get to Kyle Rittenhouse last night on Fox News. Did he sound like a crazed killer or a fanatic or someone who was trying to appeal to racist or fanatical ideas? I certainly don't